Hello and welcome to Introduction to Meteorology at the University of Hawaii at Manoa with Dr. Jennifer Griswold. Thanks for joining us. In today's lecture, we're going to talk about air pollution. In preparation for today's lecture, you should have read through the first half of Chapter 14 from the Aaron's text. Last lecture, we talked about atmospheric optical phenomena. Today's podcast is related to atmospheric optics in the sense that particles are responsible for changes in sky color and, in the case of volcanic ash, the enhancement of sunsets. There are many other types of air pollution, including gases, smoke, and dust. First, let's talk about what we consider air pollution. Pollution can be considered quite a variety of things, including smoke, dust, factory emissions, pollen and tree emissions, automobile and truck emissions, sea salt from sea spray, smog, ozone, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, nitrogen-containing compounds, and volcanic ash. You can also ask how we define air pollution. Don't forget, we need some particles in the air to make clouds, and we learned that several podcasts ago. How many particles or how much gas does there need to be in the air for it to be considered pollution is a really valid question that we can ask. We can think about air quality. Is it hard to breathe? Does it smell bad? Does it look dirty? Do we only think of pollution as caused by humans in urban or city environments? Do we only consider it pollution if it's related to health concerns? There is a documented decrease in life expectancy of 1.8 to 3.1 years for folks living in cities and around 4,000 more deaths per year in cities than in rural areas that are related to air quality. Basically, we can think of pollution in two ways, a natural problem and an anthropogenic or people-caused problem, because there are different pollutants produced naturally and those produced by humans. The effect of pollution is also affected by atmospheric stability and weather patterns. One thing to take away from this podcast already is that the air is never perfectly clean. There are different sources and types of air pollution. Air pollutants are airborne particles and gases that occur in concentrations that endanger the health and well-being of organisms. There are two types, primary pollutants and secondary pollutants. Primary pollutants are emitted directly from an identifiable source. They pollute the air immediately after being emitted. Secondary pollutants are produced in the atmosphere by chemical reactions between primary pollutants. We'll give examples of both primary and secondary pollutants in this and the next podcast. Some sources of primary pollutants include those created by humans from combustion processes, chemical processes, nuclear or atomic processes, roasting, heating, refining processes, and mining, quarrying, and farming. Natural primary pollutants include volcanoes, breaking seas, pollens, tree emission, fire dust, bacteria, and viruses. Humans can increase the likelihood of fire dust, bacteria, and viruses. The primary pollutants that we're going to talk about today are particulate matter, which can be both solid or liquid, and are broken down into two categories, PM10 and PM2.5. Small fine particles are considered PM2.5 since the diameter of the aerosol is 2.5 micrometers or smaller. Large coarse particles are considered PM10 since the diameter of the aerosols is 10 micrometers or greater. There's a distinction because they have different health effects. Other primary pollutants we'll talk about today include sulfur dioxide, or SO2, nitrogen oxides, known as NOx, N-O-X, volatile organic compounds, known as VOCs, carbon monoxide, known as CO, and lead. We'll get through most of these in this podcast, and we'll continue on into the next. Let's talk more in detail about particulate matter. Again, particulate matter or aerosols can be either solid or liquid. Fine particulates are 2.5 micrometers or less and are known as PM2.5. They are produced via fuel combustion from fireplaces and from wood stoves. They can get deep into your lungs and can cause serious health problems. They can cause premature death as well. If we look at a map of where we find fine PM or PM2.5, we'll see that the Midwest has a big problem. We see these PM2.5 in regions with lots of industry. Lots of coal-burning power plants cause a problem because they emit SO2, which turns into fine particles. In particular, Birmingham, Alabama, Gary, Indiana, and almost the entirety of West Virginia have very high levels of PM2.5 in comparison to the rest of the U.S. Coarse particulates are those that are greater than 10 micrometers and are known as PM10. They are produced via crushing and grinding operations and include dust and soot. They can aggravate asthma and other respiratory conditions. Particulate matter is the type of pollutant that is the main cause of reduced visibility in the U.S. There have been many studies about PM2.5 and their effects on human health. They link breathing PM2.5 to a series of significant health problems, including aggravated asthma, increase in respiratory symptoms like coughing and difficult or painful breathing, chronic bronchitis, decreased lung function, and premature death. One example of a study is the Six Cities Study. In this study, they found that PM2.5 correlated very strongly with increased mortality. That's not to say that other pollutants are not harmful, just that they don't lead to shortened lifespans in the same way as PM2.5. Before we talk about our next topic, I'd like to give you the next extra credit fact that will appear on the final. In 1952, the Great Smog, or Big Smoke event in London, killed an estimated 4,000 people. Let's move on to another primary pollutant that is natural but can be exacerbated by humans, dust. Dust reduces visibility and can cause breathing problems and plagues desert regions and regions downwind of deserts. Because of its large size, it doesn't infiltrate the lungs as much, and as long as people protect their mouths and nose by using coverings or masks, they should be okay. Another natural primary pollutant source is volcanoes. Volcanoes produce both ash and SO2, which turns into PM2.5. One of the most recent eruptions was the Iceland volcano in 2010 that disrupted air travel for a full week across Europe. We'll talk about ash and volcanic gases more when we talk about climate change in a couple of podcasts. We'll talk in more detail about SO2 in just a moment. We know about volcanic emissions here in Hawaii. We call them VOG, or volcanic fog. They are vent emissions composed primarily of water vapor, SO2, carbon dioxide, and various other trace gases and metals. SO2 rapidly mixes with water vapor to form gaseous sulfuric acid. A majority of the liquid sulfate also quickly converts to various sulfate compounds, forming aerosol via nucleation or condensation onto existing aerosol. These sulfates form a layer of volcanic smog known as VOG. There are many hazards from VOG. Volcanic sulfate aerosol is of a size, 0.1 to 0.5 micrometers, that can effectively reach down into the human lung, causing respiratory distress. Sulfur dioxide also promotes respiratory distress. Reduction of visibility in layers of high aerosol concentration near inversions represents a hazard to aviation. Acid rain also negatively impacts ecosystems and reduces crop yields downwind. Let's talk more in detail about sulfur dioxide, or SO2. SO2 is a colorless and corrosive gas. It originates from combustion of sulfur-containing fuels like coal and oil. Sources include power plants, smelters, petroleum refineries, and pulp and paper mills. Through chemical reactions in the atmosphere, they can ultimately form acid rain, which is essentially sulfuric acid. Some of the respiratory effects from gaseous SO2 include temporary breathing difficulty for people with asthma who are active outdoors. Again, SO2 is the largest contributor to acid rain, which we'll go into detail in the next podcast. If we look at a map of where we expect to find SO2 in the U.S., we see peaks in the same areas as PM2.5. The Midwest has many pollution problems directly linked to the amount of industry and urbanization. There is also the problem of transport. The pollution itself may not be produced in the areas that are affected. The pollution can be blown and carried with the wind. This way, you see evidence of the pollutant downwind of the source. This can cause pollution to affect many states in both the U.S. and Canada. Now that you have a good idea about SO2, let's move on to nitrogen-containing pollutants known as NOx. Nitrogen oxides include NO2 and NO. They form during the high-temperature combustion of fuel when nitrogen reacts with oxygen. The main sources of NOx include motor vehicles, power plants, and even some bacteria. Nitrogen oxides are also a component of acid rain, which we'll talk about in the next class in more detail. But quickly, NOx can react with other substances in the air to form acids which fall to the earth as rain, fog, snow, or dry particles. When NOx reacts in the atmosphere with other chemicals such as ozone, toxic chemicals can be produced, which would be considered secondary pollutants. Thus, NOx is a primary pollutant and can be a component of secondary pollutants as well. Another class of primary pollutants are volatile organic compounds, or VOCs. They are also called hydrocarbons and come in solid, liquid, and gaseous forms. Sources include the incomplete combustion of gasoline and natural sources that produce methane. By themselves, they're relatively harmless in the open atmosphere, but they will be more dangerous when we address indoor air pollution in the next lecture. In the atmosphere, however, they can react with other primary pollutants and produce harmful secondary pollutants. The main source industries are consumer products, heating and combustion, transportation, and industrial commercial practices. Our final air pollutant for today will be ozone. There is good ozone and bad ozone. Good ozone is found in the stratosphere. It makes this layer increase in temperature and protects life from harmful UV radiation. It is destroyed by chemical reactions involving chlorofluorocarbons, known as CFCs. These chemicals reduced the ozone layer from the mid-1970s through the 1990s. The problem was remediated by international political and scientific cooperation, known as the Montreal Protocol, in 1990. Normally, ozone is created and destroyed naturally in the atmosphere when O and O2 react with ultraviolet radiation from the sun. However, when CFCs are added, they release chlorine atoms, and halons release bromine atoms. the chlorine and bromine atoms help destroy ozone, making the natural process of ozone destruction more efficient. Thus, more ozone is destroyed than created, creating the ozone hole. The most rapid breakdown of ozone occurs on the surface of polar stratospheric clouds in austral summer. There are several types of PSCs. Some are made of nitric acid, others sulfuric acid, and other clouds are combinations which include water. For our final topic, we'll briefly talk about bad ozone. Bad ozone is found in the troposphere. It is caused by reactions with smog and nitrogen gases, including NO2 and NO. We'll talk about smog in detail in the next podcast. Urban air pollution causes ozone formation. Sunlight breaks apart NO2 to produce NO and a free oxygen atom, which reacts with regular oxygen, O2, to form O3, or ozone. Ozone is an irritant to the lungs, and it is dangerous to those with lung conditions or who are very young or very old. That finishes our brief intro to bad ozone and our first lecture on air pollution. We'll cover air pollution in the urban environment next time, and we'll address ozone, smog, secondary pollutants, as well as indoor air pollutants such as lead and carbon monoxide. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again for our next podcast. Goodbye!